Scars is my number one sci-fi.
Quit
racer.
Referring to Scars. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode 189. And we are in the middle of a Steam summer sale.
Yeah,
I know we don't care as much anymore since they changed the system and took away flash sales. It used to be really one of the highlights of the summer for me. It was always fun to like daily, you know, those daily changes and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's very different than what it once was. But I think it's still worth noting because you can get a lot of good quality games for a very low price.
Yeah, they are trying way too hard, though, with the whole pick a team and represent and race by spending money on our game stuff. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I think it's kind of stupid.
Yeah. I never look, they always have some kind of gimmick.
I've never really gone
into the gimmicks. I just look at the prices of the games.
Yeah. It's a terrible gimmick this go around.
What games have you seen on the list that you're interested in purchasing, or maybe you already own it from a previous sale and you would suggest maybe our listeners to go out and cop if they have not yet purchased the game?
So Dark Souls 3 is super cheap, lots of people have told me I need to get into the series. I never have. It's tempting.
Oh my goodness.
Is that the one you've been playing, Nolan?
Yeah, please, okay. Kenny. That would be amazing.
$15. Like
it's so cheap,
it's really tempting. So that one looks good. I was looking through the rest and scoffed at a bunch of them because there's a lot of things I don't know, and then like No Man's Sky, and then I came across something really depressing, and the fact that a whole bunch of Civilization 6 stuff is on sale, and I just last week
went and
bought a bunch of the DLC for it.
The Gathering Storm thing?
Uh-huh. And so dang. I could have saved a bunch of money by just, like, waiting a week to get it.
I knew the sale was coming up.
Yeah, but I didn't know that'd be on it, and I didn't actually know that, and I wanted to play the new stuff, and so, anyways. For me, it's Dark Souls 3 or Uno.
Civ 6, the, like, gold edition, which I'm assuming is everything, is $127, but it's on sale right now for $30.
Yeah, I don't think that's all the DLC, too. I think that's, like, the super deluxe version of, like, just the base
game. It's everything, yeah.
I am about ready to pull the trigger on Doom. You know how they brought it back? Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know how... I mean, it's, like, what, 3 years at this point?
Yeah, that's something new, like that.
Yeah, it's at $15 now, which is not the lowest it's ever been, but it's still a good price. I've been interested in it just because it looks so interesting. And if you can go around and like punch demons in the face and like, and I hear that there's a little bit of story there. I don't know. I would be interested. So I've looked into that. Also, Metal Gear Solid 5, the like deluxe edition or definitive edition, whatever it is only $12.
Ooh.
I've been thinking about playing through the entire series because it starts retro. As you know, I think the first two might apply to our retro rules.
Yeah, we
played
one. And then,
but having the fifth one might be worth like getting now and then playing up till two. I don't know. Those are two that I'm kind of looking at right now.
There's a Borderlands collection that's like a big bundle that's marked way off that looks kind of interesting.
I might actually get Grand Theft Auto 5 finally. It's $14.99. Not the lowest it's been. Maybe it is. That they never go on sale, or they used to not go on sale. So I kind of want that.
Buy Civ 6 instead.
No, ooh. I won't play Civ 6. I know you won't.
I wish you would, so, but it's not your jam. It's such a good game.
I bought GTA 5. I think it was worth paying whatever I paid for it. I didn't pay full price because I put a lot of hours into it, but I stopped before I even finished the game, if that says anything to you.
Witcher 3 is pretty cheap too at $15. It's not a bad
Witcher 3 is low for sure. Sekiro is on sale. But I don't know if it's low enough for me yet, especially the rage that it would bring about.
It's 12
yeah, wait
off.
2 years.
It's below 50. So if you were looking at Sekiro, I'd say get it. I mean, it's amazing. I beat it.
One of the things that I'm really looking at, and I wanted to talk to you guys live on air to see if this is something we should do. I've mentioned it before, probably for a couple of years now, but Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes is now goodness. Just down to $5. What if we did that as a part of our 24-hour live stream?
Could we?
Oh, we totally could. We need some collaborative kind of games.
One of us could buy it. The other two could print off the manuals, and then the two could work together. Like, and then you can play it as a three-player game or whatever, where like one of you have like some of the rules, and one of you have the others, and then one of us is actually playing the game. I don't know. It's $5. That's dirt cheap.
Yeah, that's super cheap. Maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what happened to me, but I'm not going to buy anything.
Yeah.
Whoa, somebody got cheap.
No, it's not just about cheap. One, we've bought a lot of games on previous sales. Two, we've got a lot of games that we haven't played yet.
Both of those are fair.
Three, this is Steam Summer Sale is just not what it used to be. And so
I'll also agree with that.
Four, Nintendo Switch. And I'm waiting on some games that are coming out later this summer. So I'm
true.
I'm chilling.
Well, even if Steam Summer Sale isn't that impressive, Misa's still excited about another Steam Summer Sale.
Oh,
so, excuse me if you don't like that.
Okay. The Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like in our retro game of the week, Star Wars Episode One: Racer.
Overview.
Star Wars Episode One: Racer is a pod racing game, which apparently they can't put in the title, I think because lawyers came out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was a rights thing. There's some other game that has or had the rights to any use of the word pod in a racing title or something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
Because no one I knew or know called this game Star Wars Episode One Racer. No.
Oh, yeah, like, you always kill the franchise name when you're talking about stuff. It literally would be like calling the game Racer. Like, it's the worst name. And I'm sure it's just because they couldn't come up with a better alternative relative to what they want. You know, I'm sure they wanted Star Wars Episode One Pod Racing or something.
Misa Racer.
Or they could have gone with Rod Pacer.
They could
May
have
the race
mixed
be with
it
you.
Up.
May the race be with you, dude. Star Wars Episode One racist?
There you go. There we go.
Star Wars Episode One Anakin whines.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could have stopped one earlier.
So it's exactly what you would think it is. It's a pod racing game based on Episode One, Phantom Menace. So this is back in the days of Anakin Skywalker.
Darth Maul. Is this the one with Darth Maul?
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes.
And
Sebulba.
No, yeah. Misa Jar Jar Binks. Yeah,
he's got nothing to do with this game,
pretty
though.
Pretty good Jar Jar.
He's the one that made Star Wars Episode One.
He made it something.
He is George Lucas.
But this game's really, really straightforward. It's exactly what it sounds like. They tried to take the racing portions of Phantom Menace and throw it into a game. So you have a racing game that's fast-paced, that is sort of a little, not twitchy, but sort of quick reaction-based, and where you're in a pod racer against other pod racers, either playing as Anakin or as one of the aliens, and seeing if you can, win races. It's a racing game.
Episode One is highly loved by everyone.
That's a true
statement. That's sarcasm. No, it's not though.
I don't super love the prequel movies. I'm not like a massive Star Wars fan either. Like the new ones, they're fine, but this one in particular gets memed on really hard. I think it's a big bandwagon. I don't know if it's that bad, but everyone makes fun of this one for pod racing specifically, actually. They thought it was stupid.
See, that's not what my impression was. My impression was that it was pretty much everything but pod racing.
That it got made fun of for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the pod racing sections were enjoyable. I mean, yeah, I'm in Nolan's camp. It gets a lot of hate that I don't think it deserves.
No, that's not just Nolan's camp. I agree with that. I'm just saying that I think that the hatred is for a lot of the movie decisions, except for pod racing.
I thought
pod racing was something that a lot of the fans enjoyed.
Which out of
us three is the biggest Star Wars fan?
That's a great question. I don't know if we even know the answer to this.
Is the answer none of us?
Maybe me, but just by a hair. Like, I don't think any of us are huge Star Wars fans.
We're not, yeah. We never talk about it.
I like the movies. I like the idea of it. I'm not a hardcore Star Wars fan. I'd like to read some of the books. I love the lore. I love robust stories, but I'm not a Star Wars fan. Like, I don't know all the details. The world is so expansive. Mm-hmm. It would take me a long time to get fully invested the way that I like to in things. Yeah. So there's just no way for me.
We can probably say it's Kenny.
We'll give it to Kenny.
But sure. Again, it's not like by a stretch. I'm with you. I enjoy the universe. It's fun.
So who's the biggest fan of racing games? None of us?
I mean, that's a good question since you just mix these two. No, it would be Nolan. It would be Nolan, 100%.
I did like Scars.
Mario Kart.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario Kart, Scars,
it would be you, 100%.
I don't even drive in real life. Like, my wife does most of our driving.
You don't. I remember learning that about you, and I thought that was weird.
That is true. Listener, what? You want actually some of the details about the game in this overview section? Well, no, this is Kenny's overview, so you're not going to get him today.
You guys are the ones that derailed me into talking about driving.
Not
going to
get him today. You're not going to find out. You're not going to find out that this game came out in 1999. You're not going to find out that it was originally released both for the PC and the N64, but we played the Nintendo 64 version. LucasArts? Who cares about LucasArts?
It's true. All of those are secondary details to Phantom Menace and pod racing and the poor casting of Jake Lloyd as Anakin.
But also, Jar Jar Binks, go look him up. Google.
Gameplay.
I think we really need to do this at the beginning of the gameplay section as we're going to talk about this game. We need to talk about what a pod racer is because not everyone has seen the movie. And even if you have, it might have been a long time. And so you might not fully remember what pod racing is.
Yeah. So it's not fair. A car.
Right.
It's a hovering vehicle made up. Most of them are made up of two engines floating, again floating in front of you, and then the carriage that you sit in and control it from is connected to those engines behind it. Again, most of the time they all have a different like design, but they're just hover cars kind of.
Yeah, and sort of hardcore floating hovercraft machine chariot races.
Oh, but yeah, chariot. That's a good kind of...
Chariot is it's a sci-fi chariot race. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And the race is exactly like any other kind of race in the sense that you've got a track and you go around it. I think everyone in this game is three laps and you complete it three different times. And if you're in the top four, first, second, third, or fourth place, you get points and you get to go on to the next stage. There's various circuits for the, after you beat the like six or seven stages on each circuit, you unlock a new racer or new parts or a new character. And then you just kind of rinse and repeat over and over again.
Yeah. Very traditional in that sense.
Since we're talking about what makes pod racing unique, like explaining it, one of the things both in movie and in the game that you run into is that these pod racers are somewhat fragile. They're kind of portrayed as something people kind of self-build and like tinker together, you know, outside world. And so the game reflects that. You have to deal with things like your pod overheating if you run with too much boost. You've got to deal with damage to your pod if it runs into other players or if it runs into the track, which is what happens all the time for me, or other obstacles. You have the option to even repair your pod, like, live during the race, which even that, though it seems like a weird mechanic, kind of fits in with the movies and how they did it. And so, typical racer, but really well sort of tweaked to really feel, I thought, like a pretty good representation of how pod racing was shown.
lore accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But that being said, I think that this game lines itself up with pretty much any other mundane racer. You've got your speedometer in the right bottom corner. You've got the lap number up top, your position number, and then your racer takes center screen. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is avoiding obstacles and trying to outpace all of the other, you know, players in the game at the time. And the thing that just makes this a little bit more lackluster is that there's no power-ups or abilities or, you know, any kind of like attack items whatsoever. You're just, it's very vanilla racing.
Yeah. And I think one mechanic that does tie into the lore stuff that Kenny was saying being accurate is talking about the fragile engines. You have a boost that you get to use. And it's not like Mario Kart where you pick up the boost. It's just built in. It's just an option you have. And but the trick is you can't boost for long, or else your engine will start overheating, and then you blow an engine. And that's another thing that happens in the movie, and something they I think tried to add on to the game to make it a little more interesting. But I agree with Dustin. It's a very bare bones racer. Like, we have played Mario Kart and Mario Kart style combat racers. This one's just it was kind of really odd to me to just play a normal racing game where you just have to be in first place and that's it.
Yeah, I felt like I kept looking for more gimmick, and they put some things in there. Like, as you win races, you get money. And then you can go and buy new parts for your vehicle so that you can, you know, upgrade it. And you've got the option of buying, like, new parts or used parts.
But, like, that's not a unique gimmick.
No, it's not a unique, but, like, they tried to include some amount of depth beyond just, like, race over and over again. And they also were careful on some of the things that some of these games can run into. They gave you a variety of tracks and... you know, let you play a number of the different pods, but I mean, I'm not disagreeing. It's rather vanilla as a gameplay, but they did a great job of sticking it in the universe and of doing the things that they tried to do really well, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, you even get to play a few of the familiar tracks from the film. So, like, your first few tracks, I believe, are the same ones that Anakin raced on in the movie. Yeah. And then Sebulba, you had mentioned him earlier, but he's a character that is at least a momentary antagonist to Anakin, right?
Kind of the main villain during this part of the movie.
And so he is someone that you can play and also someone you can race against. And there's some verbal lines that are thrown out from Sebulba and other characters as you race them or get close to them in this game. So yeah, they do well, I believe, with like keeping true to quote unquote lore, or at least what the first movie was going for in its presentation of pod racing. I just, again, go back to, I think that in doing so, outside of the fact that you're in a cool ship, like it's not just a car or a cart, you're in a pod racer, that's kind of the only, in my opinion, gimmick that you do get. Other than that, like, I do think that the controls are super quality. So you might have missed it in the overview section, but we did play this on Nintendo 64 this week. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the more notable one, the one that at least more people played and the one that was submitted. But I felt like the controls were pretty, like, they were handled well. I thought that the pod racer like obeyed me. It's very simplistic, accelerate and brake, but you also have kind of a drift that I used often. And then with your C buttons, you've got a left and right roll, which isn't used much, but it always looked cool.
Every once in a while, though, they throw a little obstacle where you have to like twist yourself sideways to fit through it. Which again is like a movie thing, but there's not a lot to it.
So something that is definitely, definitely different than a normal racer is that drifting thing you're talking about. Drifting is a really important part of racing games when you have to go around a turn that's pretty sharp. And in this one, you have one, but it feels so different than a traditional like car drift. It's kind of jerky. Like, it's very responsive, a little unexpectedly. And so you have to like compensate for that and not do it too hard or too fast, or you're going to like start scraping the wall. And I thought that was actually kind of impressive to make it feel like it wasn't a car.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got your two different parts of the racer, right? You've got your engines that are in the front. That's the guiding thing. And then really you're drifting with your back like chariot piece. And so, yeah, it's good that it feels different than a car, because a car is just one chunk of metal. This is like two different parts, or like three different parts.
Three chunks of metal.
Right. And so, yeah, so it does function differently. But once you get a hold of that, it does feel pretty cool to be able to pull off those tight turns.
What character did you pick? Misa picked Anakin.
Yeah.
Because I'm a human.
Misa too.
Yusa picked Anakin too?
Misa.
I didn't like it. I wanted to, and I ended up playing around just enough to see that like the racers really did feel different with trying some of the other racers. But just in case there were story kinds of things, as I was getting to play through the game, I played Anakin. It seemed like the thing they wanted you to pick, and it also seemed like they gave him a really good racer relative to all the others, which I don't know that I like that here. I guess it's, you know, like story accurate, like they want people to play him and do well, I guess, but I hated that some of the others were so poor. I don't know.
Yeah, I know he's Darth Vader, right?
Even saying that though, you've got different stats. I don't know if we mentioned fully, but each of the pod racers have stats. There's like six or seven different kind of stats with like high speed and turning and braking and different things like that, that with the parts that we've mentioned previously, you can purchase after matches and upgrade those different parts. Or what is the mechanic where you could go to the junkyard? Like you could kind of randomly find decent parts. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I went in there briefly, but it kind of seemed like the same kind of thing as unlocking. I mean, you can spend those points, but I don't know.
Yeah. Which was the best value, I think, kind of just depended on, I don't know if that was randomly generated or if, you know, certain times it's better to go one place or another. I kind of just browsed whatever and picked something that looked interesting. I didn't get deep into all that.
I will say this, however, although, yeah, I agree with you. I do think they wanted you to pick Anakin and they kind of like put the stats there. And I mean, it is the only human alien that is a part of the game. But I felt that all of the pods pretty much seemed identical in the way that they handled, which took away any excitement to me of unlocking new pods. Like I never was when I unlocked a new pod. At first I was like, cool, let me try this out. And it really just felt just like the other pods I'd been using, which was unfortunate.
The bigger pods, like the ones that have big old engines instead of Anakin's small skinny ones.
Yeah.
Definitely had a different feel to them.
Sure. And size.
Yeah. And I kind of liked the bigger ones though, just the way they handled the weight of it. But yeah, there wasn't a ton of variety in pod stats. But to be fair, in other racing games, I've never really noticed that either. Like Mario Kart, there's some, you know, but it comes down to the character weight most of the time, not necessarily.
I felt like it was there. I don't think it was like huge, but I felt like I could tell the difference based on some. And like if I got an upgrade, especially if it was a chunky one, you know, some of them are just little upgrades, but if you get to a place where you could afford something that was a big upgrade, I felt like I could feel that in the tracks afterwards. Again, not like massively, but I think those things meant something. I don't know if you guys noticed it as well. I just thought this was a kind of cool, like they tossed it in, and I already talked about how I liked that they tried to emulate the movie as much as they could, which was wise. The movie was crazy popular and, you know, hey, new Star Wars. And if you're going to monetize a game and try and make it a good one, like you might as well do it well. But one of the things that I found really funny is as you lapped the starting line, there was almost always one pod racer that was still just sitting there that hadn't started at all.
Yeah, because his engine blew out or something.
And they did that in the movie. They had lots of people that had mechanical problems and then they became just sort of an obstacle to these races instead of a participant. And it was a small thing, but it just represented to me like how much they were willing to really try and make it feel like what you saw on the screen, at least as much as they could. I mean, there's only so much you can do with, you know, 64 era graphics.
And I'll say one other thing too. I just felt like, and I don't know if you guys had the same experience, but I was either in most of these courses way further ahead than every other participant in the race, that it wasn't much of a competition. I could completely crash two or three times and still without losing my first position. Or I, you know, was royally screwed pretty much from the start and wasn't able to keep up with the majority of them. And, but that was few and far in between. That was kind of late game. And so it did the excitement in the movie of pod racing and what I would imagine in the game is if you are kind of neck and neck with some of these other guys and you're having to really outmaneuver them just to get barely ahead. But in this game, at times it was kind of like more of a time trial mode rather than an actual race against other pods.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate. I think you just miss out on some of the excitement factor when you don't have weapons. I know that's not the only racing genre, but it definitely adds some interesting scenarios other than, because like normal racing in real life is kind of boring. That's how it is. Someone's in first most of the time. And, you know, maybe at the end they come in second or something, but no, I'm with you. It's like, it was one or the other, but this game was made for babies. So
there wasn't a lot they could do there, but like even in the movies, there's, you know, the whole like try and sabotage each other in the middle of a race thing that you could have had.
Yeah, they played
some
dirty
options there, you know, options to intentionally bump someone into something, or, you know, like if you're going to hit them, you have to twist sideways so that you hit them with your little shocky thing and not straight on, or just any kind of interaction to make it feel more like Chariot-ish, you know, like competitive neck and neck, like you were saying, Dustin, I think really would have been welcome.
Aged.
Misa have something to say. So Kenny pointed out something just now about how this game or this movie was super popular at the time because Star Wars was back. That was a huge deal. And I think that that fact, along with any game that comes out with a movie release like this, will age pretty poorly because of that, because it reeks of monetization and product and just getting the Star Wars name on every shelf, including the video game shelf. I really felt that this week. I usually can separate that from the game, but in this case, the whole time I just was thinking about when this movie came out and like how I wanted to go buy a ticket and go see it in the movie. And still today, their marketing was working on me.
I don't feel like, to me, that there was too much that, I don't know, in the gameplay itself, again, outside of them like trying to sync it with the movie, which is like admirable if you can do it and still make a good game. But I didn't feel like it felt too sold out to me. Yeah. My problem was
I definitely did.
The Star Wars parts of it, the shininess of it, I felt like was kind of the biggest substance of the game. And so like if you strip off all that stuff, which it was neat and they did well, but that, I don't know, you're driving in circles.
Yeah. And that might be a flaw with just racing games for you, but I'm not saying that they didn't deliver on the theme. Like, of course, it's definitely Star Wars, and they were very accurate, more accurate than a lot of companies making games about movies. I just, it bothers me. I don't know, because
I
just
think can it be done in a way that doesn't bother you?
Probably, yeah. Like Lion King.
Yeah, because I think out of
tasteful.
Out of all the ways that it can be done, I agree with Kenny in this one. I think that this does it rather tastefully. It stays true to the original. It gives you an extension of really what was a mini game in the movie. They kind of just bring it into a video game. I don't know. I think it works. In some video games that are produced from movies, it's a complete cash grab. Like it didn't deserve to be a game. I'll say this, and again, it's not that it was a bad game. We can talk about that in a different kind of setting, and we have, but the home improvement thing, you didn't need a game that was home improvement, and to put Tim the tool man Taylor in that those kind of situations isn't what the show was about. But in this movie, they didn't have to fabricate anything because like pod racing was an actual quote unquote game that was in the movie, and so they just brought it over to a game you could actually play. That wasn't something that was bothering to me. Although I do agree with you that when when there is a video game that is attached to a movie or a book or something like that, Fortnite. Then it does age. It does age more because the further you get away from that, you know, the content with which it came from,
then, this was like a TV ad. Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes aged more quickly than maybe some other products would.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. You can totally tell that this was LucasArts game though, because it had so much of the real stuff in it. There were sound effects from the movie. There were, you know, tracks that tried to mimic. They did a good job of actually keeping the characters and the pods looking realistic. You had actual voice actors that were the real people, which sometimes when you have like the game remake, it's, you know, the like let's fake it thing. And so they went hard on trying to make this game a good one. And to some degree, and I think this isn't all we talk about, but they also were really successful. This game sold over 3 million titles or something and became one of the best-selling sci-fi games.
That doesn't surprise me.
Sci-fi racers of all time.
That's kind of my point. I don't know. I just grew up in this time, and I played this game. I remember what it was like back then, and I was actually sick of Episode 1 by the end of it.
Best-selling sci-fi racing game. I don't think it's one of, I think it is the best sci-fi racing game, best-selling sci-fi racing game of all time. But when you throw in that many modifiers, I think that's a pretty narrow search result.
Like, exactly.
And they released it on a whole bunch of different stuff, and it had the hype of, you know, Star Wars re-release, and yeah.
Scars is my number one sci-fi.
Quit referring to Scars. Okay, one of the things that I was let me say a few of the aging factors that I was impressed with, and then whether or not you guys agree, but I've already mentioned it some in the gameplay section, but I was pleased with the handling. You don't always get that in early racers.
You don't.
And in this one, I felt pretty much in control of my racer. Anytime I was crashing, it wasn't because I was out of control of my racer. It was because I didn't know what to expect in the stage. Like a door was closing or there was an obstacle that came in my way and I wasn't expecting it. But I felt like I had full-on control of my pod racer at all times. And doing that on a Nintendo 64 is quite impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's actually one note I will say they did a great job of doing. Not only because handling is a nice quality of life thing in a racing game, it's a must have, but the way that they did it felt different than a normal car, like I was saying earlier, and I think that's important, so I agree.
I'll also say that it was nice that they didn't have to fog or blur the future screen. This has got to be hard in any racing game, right? Because you're going incredibly fast, especially in this game because you're going 400, 500, 600 miles per hour. And so to try to do that while showing you the scenery has got to be quite difficult. And I think whatever they did to let you still see what was coming up, they did that pretty well. And so I was impressed by that. However, I thought the graphics just largely were quite unimpressive.
Very N64.
Yeah, N64, but I was playing, you've got an option in the menu, low res graphics or high res, but you can't even change it to high res unless, I found out later, you have the expansion pack.
Right. Baby.
But
yeah, it's
if
on the
you
cover.
Have that expansion pack, you can enable high res, which I would imagine it's not worlds apart, but I imagine it does improve the graphics enough to at least be something that is, you know, impressive or nice, because these low res graphics don't really cut it.
Yeah. I think that Yes, it was kind of impressive to notice what was going on around you. I didn't notice that until you mentioned that, but I'm with you. There were some stages, though, that were like dark tunnels the whole time, and I ran into the wall like 30 times. It was not easy to follow. So overall, I would say it felt very N64, which can be good. Some games pulled off N64 graphics well, Zelda, but this was not one of them. I was unimpressed.
I didn't hate it, but I wasn't blown away by it. I thought the pod races themselves looked okay. But yeah, some of the areas were a little muddy and stuff just came at you real quick, and it wasn't like super pleasing visually, but it's also 99 on the N64.
They did have a ton of stages, though. I not a ton. I guess it's a normal amount for a racing game when you have a tournament and a circuit. But
I thought it was more 25? Variety than some games do. Some games don't throw many at you at all, and then you're stuck repeating one or two tracks over and over, especially if there's a couple tracks you don't like. And so I thought the amount of tracks, and even the tracks themselves, we didn't talk about this too much, but they were pretty well designed. I like that you had some shortcuts. I like that you had some options on routes. It seemed like there was a good variety of length, long and short, and different things. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like there were many, like, secrets. You know, it was a variety of routes, but none of them were secret. They were all visible on your little mini-map if you wanted them to be. And so that was a bummer. But I think one of the things that was most unimpressive to me was that I believe this is the case. It was in my game that there was no music except for the final lap. Did y'all recognize that?
I did, and I didn't actually mind it.
What?
I thought it was an okay choice.
It's just the motors and your little voice commands from your different characters.
It's an
and
interesting
then the final
choice.
Lap, a track comes on. That's just so weird.
To me, because there was a plethora of noises and things going on, it still felt like it had ambience, and that last track adding the song just gives you some of that, like, it's down to the wire. Now I wish the gameplay matched that, but it kind of was like, okay, now it's real and it's on. And I feel like if they'd played these tracks on loop over and over and over again, even being good tracks from the movie, I feel like they would have gotten really old. So I don't know, I could see how you could hate it, but I thought it was a kind of interesting choice.
If you are a fan of Star Wars Episode One Racer, which no one calls it, then it did sell incredibly well, and it even produced a sequel, which is called Star Wars Racer Revenge.
Mm-mm. Terrible name.
Didn't sell as well as this original Racer, but again, it's more of the same. If you like this, then maybe you can find it there.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I will begin by saying I really do not understand how and why people like this game.
Mm, preach.
I do not think it's good. I think it's boring. I think it's bland, very vanilla. I think it's repetitive. If I played it when the movie came out and I was a big Star Wars fan, maybe I would find some kind of short-term enjoyment with the game. But it is uninspired. The only unique things about it is from the movie, not the game. That you're in a pod racer. Cool.
Thank you.
There are some notable characters. Cool. Those are from the movie. The game didn't add anything to that experience. And I feel like it didn't even fully put me behind a pod racer, which I would have as a kid found so cool in the game. I will say that they did make an arcade version of this game where you kind of have pod racing controls and you sit down in a cockpit. Now that I could get behind, but this on a Nintendo 64, this on a PC, it doesn't do it for me, and it doesn't get my vote for New Game Plus status.
They did have that first person view. Did you mess around with that?
You know what? I saw that you press up C to switch out your different views, and I didn't stay in that. However, if I were to go back and play it again, I would, because what you're trying to mimic with this game is that you are driving the pod racer, and so you really need to be in that mode, I feel, and I wasn't in that. I think it could have added some, but not enough for me to give it my vote.
I also switched at least part of the time to that for the same reasons. I felt like I was, I don't know, like it just brought more energy to the game. It already was fast paced and like moving, but I felt like it needed something else. And even though I don't normally like that view in racers at all and almost makes me a little nauseous, I like put up with it just because, I don't know, I guess it felt more right to me.
Yeah. All right. But we're done with the conversation. We're in the summary section, which means Kenny, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts are boring. Just that I could totally agree with you, Dustin. I do think you're being too hard on the game itself.
Just you wait.
Because I think No, it was, I think it was really well made. I thought they did a good job of mimicking pod racing. If you like racing games and the competitiveness of it, and you don't mind the repetition of them, and you like Star Wars, maybe this one's for you. But I feel like you strip off all the Star Wars stuff, you just end up with a non-inspired racing game. And they would have had to have done something more unique than what they did to make this, as a standalone game, stand out from, I don't know, any other racer. So it was super popular. There's a lot of people that like it, but I'm with you, Dustin. I don't get it. I think they made a really good product, but not a fun product. No New Game Plus for me.
That's two no's, which means it doesn't. But Nolan, you want to go ham on this? You said take it.
I said take it. And I really like what you said, Dustin. I can't see why anyone would think this is fun. I'll add on to that and say, if you think this game is fun,
uh-oh,
you've really never played many games, I don't think.
Well, that's what it is. You've never played really many games.
Go drive a real car if you enjoy this video game.
Go drive a real pod racer.
Out. What?
And just don't play this product placement, Coca-Cola, whack, aged poorly, bore fest. I haven't been this bored on the podcast playing the game of the week in a long time. And that's saying something. I think we've had some heavy hitters in there in terms of poop. So no New Game Plus. Get out of here. No.
That means Star Wars Episode 1 Racer is a really good title, but it is not New Game Plus yeah. certified. But what did you think? And guys, I'm going to read some thoughts from a few of our friends, and you're going to hear a different opinion because a lot of people like this game.
Okay.
I know they do. Fine. I really do think part of it is racers and it's not our thing.
And part of it is they're wrong. Tim the TV Nerd said, I always had referred to this game as Star Wars Pod Racer. I loved this game and still do. I remember when I was a kid playing this with my dad and winning every time. So many good memories. Definitely gets my rating for NGP.
It is fun whooping up on your dad at a video game. I'll give him that.
Yeah, GoldenEye, not this.
Tim, let me tell you something. Your dad let you win.
He did.
You think?
Jonathan wrote in and said, a few great things came out of the train wreck that is The Phantom Menace. This delightful racing game is one of them. What Episode 1 Racer captures so well is the feeling of barely being in control as you float through hazardous levels and corridors to victory. It's that feeling like balancing on the crest of a 50-foot wave that makes pod racing so addictive. It's sad to see the futuristic racing genre ignored as of late by most big publishers. Hopefully, a resurgence in nostalgia for games like Episode 1 Racer and F-Zero will lead to renewed interest in these fantastic games.
I want to hear a breakdown, a modern take on why The Phantom Menace sucks so bad. I never understood.
That would be super interesting to see. Also, I would say to Jonathan that this game is not the definition of a futuristic racing game.
What would you say?
I mean, it's set F-Zero? In the future.
No, it's not.
It's set in a galaxy far, far away.
You're right.
Thank you. Give me $1,000. I win. You lose. Astral Orange said, Star Wars Episode 1 is the one Star Wars I don't like, but I always liked the pod racing sequence in the movie. I was really excited back in the day when I saw a pod racing video game was released. This is a very underrated racing game, in my opinion. I loved that the characters and locations were all from the movie, and the fact that you could buy and upgrade parts to make a better pod racer. This game was difficult and fast, almost like a Star Wars themed F-Zero. Overall, it's a very fun game and highly recommend it to any Star Wars and racing game fans.
I would agree, if you were a racing game fan and a Star Wars fan, that you should probably play this game.
I would agree that if you like Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, the game, you should play it. But for that's the only.
And you need to know that before you play it.
I don't know. I would honestly rather play Mario Kart a whole lot. Yeah, not that they're the same.
They're totally different games.
I think we just all hate racing games. I do. I like Mario Kart, but
I don't generally like racing games, but yeah. I would be able to see the merit in and recommend a quality racing game. I've played some even more modern racing games, and although I care nothing about cars, I've enjoyed it and spent some good time into it. I don't even know what it's called, but you could either pick a cop car or you could pick the like guy that's running from the cops.
Twisted Metal?
No. A more modern game. And I enjoyed it. So like I can find that, but in this one you don't have the attack. Anyways, we've already talked about it and given our thoughts. Thank you for your thoughts, yeah. Astral Orange. You're wrong. Limit Break finally said, this game really surprised me. I went out and bought a physical copy this week needed it anyways for my eventual complete N64 library. Oh. I am pretty positive I played this in an arcade as a kid, but never on console. That being said, the game still looks pretty good today. Not much track fog, and the driving was pretty tight. Not a bad game at all for a movie tie-in, and I could have totally seen myself playing it as a kid. It's not the greatest game, but easy to pick up. It's a pretty cheap hard copy, and it's worth checking out. At least I give it my New Game Plus status.
Why does everyone like this game? We were completely opposite.
All four of them said yes. Does that outweigh our three no's?
It does not. No.
I want to see that N64 collection, though.
I want to hear. Yeah, I want to hear awesome. From someone else. That okay. Two things we need to hear from in Discord or tweet at us this week. One, if you also don't like this game, we need someone to agree with us. And then two, if you have a good reasoning for why people hate the movie.
Yes.
Today, like, why do they hate the movie? And I think I know what it is. I think because true Star Wars fans were expecting it to go one direction, and George R.R. Lucas did something totally different and went a different direction.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did. I don't think it's just because the best character Jar Jar Binks, although that's probably another.
That's
bar,
a big yeah. People hate that guy.
I'm gonna just say casting is the one real reason people have that, but
that's a good point, Kenny. I think that's a big one.
Either way, Star Wars Episode One Pod Racer of the Future and the Past is not New Game Plus certified, and we are going to put it aside for us three to never play again as we randomly select the next game. But it's not from our great expansive retro master list. It's from our much smaller Patreon pool.
It's a summer Patreon pool party.
So this is a lot of fun. We've been doing this every other week this summer. We have one more after this one, another one here in July, but we've had our patrons submit up to two games this last week, and from that small list, we're going to randomly pick what game we're going to be playing. We've got games like Symphony of the Night, Breath of Fire 3, Command and Conquer. We've got Tekken 3 and Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening DX. We've got WrestleMania 2000, as well as a lot of Lunar the Silver Star. Lunar the Silver Star. We've got
Did
a lot of those.
Did they get
here.
Together on that one, maybe?
Maybe. I know they got together on one of them, and I think it's that one since I'm seeing so many here.
Okay.
We also have Final Fantasy IX.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
That could be a thing. There's many other games in here from that list we're randomly selecting now. The game that we'll be playing was submitted by multiple patrons.
Yes.
Starquake, Grim, and Mike.
Wow.
All submitted this platform adventure action role-playing game.
That's too many
collaborative.
Words.
That came out in 1997 for the PlayStation.
Great. Great, great.
Developed and published by Konami.
Freak off. Are you serious?
For the first time on this podcast are going to be playing a game called Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Heck yeah. I call dibs on first play.
But I've never played it in my life.
I know, no but you care. Did the last one. I'm so excited. This game is going to be so good.
I mean, I've heard amazing things. I really hope I like it, but I'm scared of the aesthetic and the theme.
No, you got this. Look, this is good timing because the creator of Castlevania, the series,
is coming on the show next week.
No, just released his own game. He doesn't work at Konami anymore. It's called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically a modern Symphony of the Night. That's on sale, by the way, too, for $4 off. So I might get that too.
Thank you, Starquake, Grim, and Mike for submitting this game into our Patreon pool. Because of the many submissions, it was pushed to the top. Castlevania Symphony of the Night is the retro game of the week. Find a copy and play it with us this week.
Gather all of your Symphony of the Night thoughts and memes and go to Discord and drop them there. We're going to be talking about it all week. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click on Join Us in Discord.
I want to say a big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We call them patrons. It means they help this show to continue to be a quality product. So especially our producer level supporters, Grim, Dear Baby, Zach, Limit Break, Richard, Maxima, Garlisle, Corey, and Zion. You guys are some of the best people in the whole world.
You're honestly thebomb.com.
Whoa. Thebomb.diggity.
You can find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, or our YouTube channel, New Game Plus Podcast. Be on the lookout for our first play of Symphony of the Night this week. You can listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. Make sure that our 24-hour live stream is on your calendars. It is going to be the second weekend in July, July 12th and the 13th. We're going to be doing playing live streaming for 24 hours straight. And we really need to talk about it or it's going to be a mess. But guys, let's talk about it off air so that we can have a quality product to bring for our viewers.
It's going to be a really fun time.
This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Anakin really was the chosen one because he killed the Emperor in the end.
And Misa Bena, New Game Plus.
You're the worst.